My name is Kim Lonsbury. This is my husband, Jason Lonsbury. We have been going to City Church together for about 10 years. Both our kids are also in City Kids. Rhea and Bennett. Our legacy at City Church is Pastor Brent married us. Oh. He has done both of our kids' baby dedication. And so that's kind of our little highlight reel for City Church. We talked about legacy, I think, just with even deciding to like get married and have a family. And so legacy for us is the impact that we make when we're not around. And so we were chatting about this, and we talked about small groups. We talked about people that we kind of connect with and what is the impact that we make when we're not in that group anymore. We don't really get to interact with those people as frequently as we used to. And I think that's kind of like the short term, and our long term is the life and the choices that Rhea and Bennett are going to make when they have the opportunity to make those choices for themselves as adults. And so I plan to be around for a very long time. And so it's important for us to be able to create that legacy and foundation so that when they grow up and they get to make God choices and life choices and partner choices, that they do it with kind of like our legacy and our upbringing and foundation in mind.
Yeah, and then I think the only thing I would add to that is when you hear the word legacy, I think a lot of people go to like, hey, like what happens like after I pass away? I think Kim probably put it really good. It's like, what happens when I'm not there? So I'm like, for our kids, I'm like, they go to school. We are not there. Have we built them a foundation where they're still making godly decisions and we're not around? With everything that we do with small groups and connecting with others, same thing. We might have somebody in our lives only for a season, but what have we instilled? What have we done that when we're not there, they still can look back and appreciate that time? And anybody that we meet, we just help in any way we can and try to always set a godly foundation. Yeah, so for staying grounded at church, it's, I think the big thing is when you look around the room, recognizing that everybody in this room is your family. So does your brothers and sisters in Christ. And this has been a progression for us personally. But obviously it just started with like, hey, like let's get to know people in the church. And the best way to do that is honestly through the city groups and through the small groups. So that started where we then built some of our best lifelong friends who we met in small groups. These are people who we're doing life with, who think similar to us, who share similar foundational values and can honestly call us out on stuff when we need to be called out. And then I'd say that then has grown into saying, all right, like now we're at the spot where we think we can lead groups. So we'll lead a couples group, we'll lead the softball team, I'll get involved in leading some financial groups just to make sure that we're now taking what people have given to us and trying to pass it on to others. So yeah, staying grounded is really being as connected as possible.
Yeah. And it is possible with somebody who is an introvert, which is Jason, and somebody who is an extrovert, who is somebody like myself. Because that also was like a big change to not just attend for an hour and then leave. It did take a little bit of learning for us to find that balance on, you know, what does being connected look like for us? What did it sound like for us? Even choosing to serve has been so great. You know, I'm on info desk and he's at kids, and initially, we, not gonna lie, we kind of procrastinated a little bit just because of the time commitment. We were like, oh my goodness, but now we look forward to it like every other Sunday. It's such a different way for us to be able to connect with other people coming through the church and their kids. And so there's just so many ways at the church to be able to create that importance of faith on a weekly basis, but then kind of add to it with the groups, whether it's weekly or bi-weekly or monthly. We love you, City Church.
Let's move people closer to Jesus.
Thanks to Jason and Kim for sharing their story. If there's any hockey Leaf fans in the room, so here's my attitude this year. We'll just enjoy playoff hockey for however long it is, all right? We'll have minimal expectations. If it's four games, we'll just enjoy for four. If it's 28 games, if they go four series, seven games, we'll enjoy 28 playoff games. We'll pray for each other after the service. All right. I love what Jason and Kim were saying as it relates to creating a legacy. It's like one of the things that happens when you're not there, that you've instilled something in somebody else. And that's what we're discussing in this series, that we as the City Church and any church in existence today can trace our roots all the way back to the book of Acts, to the day of Pentecost where the Holy Spirit was poured out and the church was born. And so many faithful men and women have lived the last two millennia serving God and being generous and giving of their time, talent, and treasure to be a part of the church so that we could be here today. And thank God for their legacy, but then also what we want to discuss in this series is, what legacy am I creating? So that 100 years from now, when we aren't here anymore, have we created such a legacy that the City Church and other churches in the city and region and province will be able to continue, because we as Christ followers have been faithful to Jesus and continued the values from the Word of God. And this is what we want to create, and this is what we want to talk about in this series. So legacy is something transmitted or received from an ancestor or a predecessor from the past. So we know that the church is built on the foundation of Jesus, the teaching of the apostles, and we continue with that same tradition, bringing people to Jesus, moving people into a relationship with Jesus. Those of us that have said yes to Jesus, we continue on the discipleship process of becoming more and more like Christ, and that's what we want to continue to do. And really, it's all about training ourselves to respond in faith. We can just react in our emotions and how we've maybe been trained from our family of origin, but to retrain ourselves to respond in faith, a faith in God that I would have that can continue then in the life of somebody else, in a child that we would minister, or our own family, that is, as we continue to live the life of faith, that will show up in generations to come. So again, in this series, we want to talk about, and we talked about this week one, having faith in God and just being a faithful, courageous follower of Jesus. And this is a legacy that will stand in good stead for those following after us. We want to be a loving family of God. We're going to talk about that in depth today. We want to be a hope-filled group. We want to have an expectation for our future because we have faith in God. Such an important thing. We want to be the type of church family that rejoices and weeps together, the type of family where we celebrate victories in life and a marriage or a child being born or a promotion or somebody buying a house or whatever the case may be in life, that we would celebrate together. But on any given Sunday, we're going to have a celebration, and then we're also going to have somebody who's lost a family member. And I want to make mention of, if you maybe weren't here last week, I mentioned that Nicole's mother passed away last weekend, so 8 days ago now. And I want to thank you for all of your wishes and condolences and prayers. I know Nicole has been really, really grateful the last week for all of the well wishes and everything. So again, this is what church is all about, that we are going to be rejoicing sometimes, celebrating. You know, we are getting ready to celebrate the marriage of our first daughter here in June, simultaneously while Nicole's mother passing away. And so we're kind of in these two seasons at the same time, and that's what church life is like, that we're rejoicing and we're grieving together, and this is what the family of God does. We want to be servant-minded as a group of followers of Jesus, the body of Christ. We talked about that last week, and we want to be steady and consistent and faithful so that the generation to follow us can stand on our shoulders of faithfulness and steadiness, that we didn't let circumstances, we didn't let situations in the world, we didn't let mistakes that other believers made take us off of faith in God, that we were steady, that we were faithful to the end, that we are creating a legacy with that. And then also what we want to do as a church, that we want to emphasize every legacy series, is generosity. We already talked about being generous here in our city with the food drive that we're doing, and so you can grab one of those bags on the way out. We want to be a blessing in our city. But then what we want to do every year with the legacy series is we're going to receive an offering in conjunction with our series that has a specific purpose. As I mentioned last year, our goal for the legacy offering was $80,000. Which we were able to reach that goal for us to be able to renovate our two new rooms. And we got to use our room last Wednesday for City School for the very first time. It was fantastic. We had, I think it was almost 50 people in there for the class that we're doing on Colossians. It was fantastic. And that is because of your generosity. And we are also able to renovate the room beside it that we're using for our team. So this year, Our goal for our legacy offering is $50,000. And again, this is for people that call the City Church home. If you're visiting with us today, this offering isn't necessarily for you, but those of us that call City Church home, this would be something over and above our normal tithes and offerings. And again, if you are maxed out on your giving with your tithes and offerings, you don't have to feel shame or pressure that you can't give in the legacy offering. But for the vast majority of us, we're able to sow some seed in this area. And our goal with this $50,000 is going to be three different things. The heating and AC unit that serves our two new rooms actually is completely not working anymore, so we are in the process of replacing that. So that is going to be $20,000 for us to replace that. And then another $20,000 is going to go for our youth and young adults conference that we are hosting this fall in October. A lot of expenses related to that. And so we want to keep that ticket price down. So we're going to give some offering towards that. And finally, the last $10,000 is going to go to meeting some flooring needs in our City Kids area. There's a lot of wear and tear in our City Kids area. So we want to upgrade that flooring. So again, like the girl said, there's offering envelopes you can grab and pray about and be giving towards. And then you can also give online. All right, let's look to the scripture this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. And the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy. And we're going to hear a little bit about the Apostle Paul's heritage of faith and then Timothy's heritage of faith. I thank God in whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see that you may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that first dwelt in your grandmother Lois, your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you. So Lois, Eunice, and Timothy, that we have these three generations of individuals that serve God. And again, this is God's purpose. He's not wanting to be the God of a generation, not just us, but he wants to be the God of generations. And so we would live in such a way to create a legacy for those following us. And like what Jason and Kim said, when I'm not here, will there still be a church? Not just the City Church, but the church in general, that we are living followers of Jesus, that we are living to create a legacy for those that are coming afterwards. So we want to be part of this thing that Jesus is building. We want to be committed to it. We want to be the type of followers of Jesus, you know, that are strong, living out a life of faith. And so today, the title of my message is We, the Church. And what I'm meaning by that is that being a part of the body of Christ, being a follower of Jesus, is a together activity. We're not supposed to be following Jesus on our own. Not just me in my life by myself, but it's something that we do together. Everybody say together. Now, it would be a lot easier if it was just me. It'd be a lot easier if it was just you, right? Because what's the deal with people? They just have so many problems, right? And the difficulties, and they're hard to get along with. And they don't say the right things. They don't do the right things sometimes. So if it was just me, you know, just me and Jesus going through life, it would just be so easy. But no follower of Jesus is called to go through life on their own. We're all called to be part of the church, this family of God. And so as we are creating this legacy together, everybody say together, one of the most difficult things for us to do is what I'm going to talk about today, the legacy that Jesus actually wants us to create from the Word of God. Let's just read about this difficult thing that Jesus wants for us to do. So he's talking here in John 13 to his disciples, which is us. And he says this, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Amen. End of message. The brand new commandment, this culmination of the scripture. And what is it? This commandment? What is this New Testament commandment? That we would love one another. So it's not about loving the world, not about loving people who are far from God, that Jesus is saying, hey, this is what I want you to do. I want to love you just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. He reiterates it so they don't forget it. And then he says this, by this what, Jesus? That you would love each other. Well, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. He says it one more time, love each other, love one another. And this is the thing that Jesus wants us to be known for, that in the family of God, in the context of church, in the context of the body of Christ, that we would be known for loving each other. Now we, as followers of Jesus, a lot of times we want to be known for other things. We want to be known for our favorite doctrines, our favorite verse, our favorite worship style, our favorite famous preacher that we affirm, the type of church service that we say is okay to partake of, whether it's something contemporary like we are doing or something liturgical or something that seems a little bit older, the type of thing that happens in our gatherings. Ceremonially, I would say, we want to be saying, oh yeah, that's really important. But Jesus is saying something to us about our relationships with each other, that he wants us to be known for loving one another. Now again, so what I want to talk about today is a biblical kind of love. There's a mutuality that we have. There's a connected purpose that we have, that we are called to be part of this new family in Christ. This very special thing that doesn't exist anywhere else in culture and society, that people from desperate and different backgrounds come together, who look differently and believe differently sometimes about different aspects of life, that he's calling us together in Christ, and he's calling us to love one another. And I love also that in the scripture that we see love defined. That, you know, the world will take love and it will define it, you know, 75 different ways. But the Word of God has defined love for us in very practical terms, very sort of real life, realistic terms. It's not just warm fuzzies. It's not that we would have warm feelings for each other. This is not love. It's going to show up in our lives. It's going to show up in purposeful actions. It's going to show up in the attitudes that we have and the words that we say. It's not just me saying I have sweet feelings for you. And again, this is a very hard thing. This is a very difficult thing that we would see in the history of the church. You know, has anyone ever been hurt at church? If you haven't been hurt at church, you've been here like a week. This is a really difficult thing. And, you know, there's a sort of a movement in the world, so to speak, and you will see this online. People in the church have made mistakes historically. We should say that that's true. We know that this is true, and because the church is full of human beings that are fallible and need a savior. So the church has done some terrible things in history, and I admit that's true, but then this interpersonal thing is still true, that God is calling us to love each other. Just because the church... people in the church have made mistakes in the past doesn't mean that Jesus is saying, oh, I'm going to change that. Forget. Hey, remember that thing that I wanted us to be famous for? Forget about that, that loving each other. No, it's still true today that we would love each other. But it's hard. It's difficult. And the reason it's difficult is because we know what each other are supposed to do, right? We have the teachings of the scripture, and people outside of the church say, we know what your Bible says, and you aren't doing it. No, I'm not so much concerned about people outside of the church and their critique of us. And what I would love to do from the inside of the church, because I just can say I'm definitely in the top five people in this room who have been hurt at church in the various sundry different ways of my whole life experience at church. I had people hate me because I was a PK. Oh, you're just the pastor's son, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, what do you want me to do? I can't change who my father is, all right? I apologize. And I've said before, I've been lied about, slandered, hurt, damaged, not by the atheists, not by the Satan worshipers, but by the church, people in the church. And there's a whole movement online now because we have social media. There's a whole church hurt cottage industry on social media. People going online telling about their experiences at church, and we didn't used to have this outlet. We used to have to be mature and actually go to the people that hurt us and talk to them. But now we just go online, tell the world. But one of the things that we know, and the reason that there is church hurt, because again, we know how each other is supposed to act. We know the teachings of Jesus and the scripture. But you know, have you ever noticed there's no like law hurt, businessmen hurt, there's no medical industry hurt, There's no construction industry hurt. I was walking by a construction site last year. There was some roads being repaved in my neighborhood. And there was this older construction guy and a younger construction guy. And there was some dispute over a wheelbarrow. And I want to tell you that this older construction guy cussed this kid out, yelled at him in the middle of the street, didn't, hey, can we have a private conversation? Come over here, I want to talk to you for a second. Like yelled at, like 50 feet away, cussing this kid out. And I guarantee this kid didn't go home at night, construction hurt, I'm starting a movement. Now, again, why is it? Why is it a thing for us? And again, the thing for us is that we have the teachings of Jesus. We have the teachings of Scripture. But the problem is how we're applying it. We know how everybody else should act. And we're forgetting about ourselves, and we're assuming that we're just perfect all of the time. And we've said all of the right things, and we've had all the perfect attitudes in the context of church and the church family, and we've never hurt anybody's feelings. And so we feel empowered to go and start an Instagram account and judge all of the other Christians because we have gathered together because we've been hurt together. But what I would say, again, is that we have to be less concerned about what other people are doing in the church and be inspired by the Word of God. Amen. My dad pastored for a while in Toronto, and so I made the mistake of entering a Christian hockey league. And I recommend never to do this, just play in the beer leagues. It's way better. So one time we were playing, and you know, if you're going somewhere to play hockey, like real hockey on the ice, full equipment. Hockey's a rough sport. You're going to get pushed around a little bit. You're going to get hooked. You're going to get tripped. You're going to get speared once in a while, especially if you're playing with me, all right? I'm just saying these are the things that happen in hockey. So there was these two guys. There was a fight for the puck along the boards. One guy was pushing the other guy, trying to get the puck, and the other guy yells at the other guy in the Christian League, "Are you even a Christian?" And I wanted to fight the guy because we're playing hockey out here, bro. Surely no Christian would push me on the ice. I would. This Christian right here. Because if we're going to play basketball together, I might foul you. It's part of the game. And we're so busy just judging each other instead of taking the Word of God for ourselves and saying, how can I live out the love of God? Can I get an amen? Amen. It's so much easier to know how everybody else should act. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. It says, just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all of its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ, where we are all baptized by one Spirit, and so to form one body, whether Jews, Greeks, slave, or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, not just me, but many. And again, the assumption is that we are coming from different places, but in Christ, we are all one. We are part of this one family. And what does Jesus want this one family to be famous for? Loving each other, right? Acting in, not just warm fuzzies, but acting in such a way in relationship with each other that love is expressed. And again, so many times our concern is what the other person is doing. And I know that's not love, and so I'm going to get my feelings hurt, or I'm not coming to church next week because they didn't say the right thing. And again, these are all the wrong approaches as it relates to us being in loving relationship each other. We need to have a full concern about ourselves and how we can live this out. So these things, again, are going to come out in our attitudes, our words, our responses, our actions. So I'm going to make this super practical for you today for us to love each other. That on your serving team, if you're part of the city team, that you can love people on that team. Again, you're going to have different approaches of doing things sometimes, but then you're going to love each other because you have the same purpose, moving people closer to Jesus. So we're going to put some of those differences aside, and we're like, hey, we're on mission here. We're doing something together. In the city kids line, Parents, before and after service. Don't worry about how the other parents are acting. Unless you're friends with them and they're out of line and say, hey, speak the truth in love. Don't maybe act like that in line. Be patient. We're all waiting in line. Can I get an amen? That you can express love for the workers. Be patient with them as they get your child, your misbehaving child, that they have just put up with for an hour. Amen. Oh, they need to love me. No, you need to love them. Because they just loved your child. So you're going to act in a loving way in the city kids line. When the ushers take you to your seat, don't ignore them. Well, they want me to sit somewhere that I don't want to sit. Hey, but they're trying to fill the seats. They have something to do. But it's not very loving for them to tell me what to do. Yes, it is. It's not very loving for you not to obey. Amen. Just going to get right in the kitchen this morning. During worship, the scripture tells us to raise hands when we're worshiping God. But you don't need to do this. You don't need to hit somebody when you're worshiping. Yeah, but Pastor Brent, the Holy Spirit is just coming on me. And so this is how I express my worship. Funnily enough, the Word of God says that one of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. So the Holy Spirit is not coming on you, so you can't control yourself. Let's just go with the Word of God. So I'm going to go with no, and I'm going to say that's just you. So you don't have to hit your neighbor during worship. Aiden, one of our worship leaders, we're getting called out between services because I guess he's like this during worship. Everybody's giving him extra space. Aiden, walk in love, man. Come on. In the parking lot. After church. Whenever you're all waiting to leave. And you with your skills, could have made the left turn. But the person in front of you, not a confident driver, and you're like, oh, I'm trying to get to the restaurant, and this person, Lord bless them, help them to make a left turn. We're going to love each other. In the lobby, we're going to love each other. How are we going to love each other? So here's one of the things we're going to do, how we're going to love each other. You're going to watch your own kids. Your kids should not be running around in the lobby of the church, running into some of our older city friends. Yeah, but it's the church lobby. That's right. It's the church lobby. Watch your kids. What does that mean? It's the church lobby. What does it mean? It's the church lobby so they can do whatever they want. No. Watch your children. I'm not apologizing for this, by the way. Watch your kids everywhere you go. In your city group. It's a place for you to love somebody. All right, Romans 12. I got a lot more church stories. But let's just stick with the Word of God. It's a little safer. Romans 12, verse 9. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Honor associated with respect, dignity, and esteem. And you can't give honor for somebody else. Only you can give honor. You can't force somebody else to be an honorable person. But you can. Right? And I love this, brotherly affection. So this is what we're called to do in the family of God. See, my sister and I, we don't get along sometimes, but she's still my sister. Are you here this morning? And if my sister and I have a disagreement, I don't say I'm not going to the next family thing because my sister hurt my feelings. No, I'm going to reconcile with my sister. If you got hurt at church last week or this week, if you got hurt this week, I might hurt your feelings. I might have already hurt your feelings. If you get hurt at church this week, the worst thing for you to do is stay home. The best thing for you to do is come back and be reconciled with your family. My sister is my sister. Guys, that's it. We are family. Listen, you guys are my brothers and sisters. That's it. There's no opting out of the church for me. There shouldn't be for anybody in the body of Christ. And part of the assumption is we are going to get hurt at church. Sorry to tell you. Why? Because there's imperfect people. There's an imperfect people person in your chair. Not the chair beside you. Amen. So what are we going to do with our words? We're going to strengthen each other with our words. The simple gift of prophecy here in 1 Corinthians 14 is this. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding, encouragement, consolation. Now, the simple gift of prophecy is not predicting somebody's future. What is it? It's the NIV says strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. And so how am I going to love my brother and sister? Well, I'm going to strengthen them with my words. I'm going to encourage them. I'm going to comfort them with my words. Not say to myself in the family of God, whether it's Citigroup or Sunday, nobody strengthened me today. Nobody encouraged me today. Church hurt. Go do it. Show us how it's done. Get off your Instagram whiny posts and go to church and love somebody. Amen. I have no patience for it. Do it. Not, are you even a Christian? Be one. Live it out. Not worry about what the people on your row are doing or not doing. Somebody stepped on your foot on the way into your row this morning. Maybe they did. Are you okay? Did you forgive them? Or are you holding it? Like you have literal church hurt in your foot. It's like, ow, foot hurt at church. Are you okay? You're going to forgive them. Amen. Going to read you here in Ephesians 4. We're going to read a bunch of verses. I love the book of Ephesians. The Apostle Paul talks, the first part of the book is just all of this wonderful spiritual place that we are seated at the right hand of God. And then we are predestined for certain things and all of this wonderful spiritual talk. But then the second part of the book is all about how we live this out practically, that the fact that we are seated at the right hand of God, here's how we do marriage, and here's how we do family, and here's how we do parenting, and here's how we do us. So this part that I'm going to read right now is written to the church and how we should get along with each other. And again, the assumption that we're going to read into what Paul is saying is that followers of Jesus are going to fail at the teachings of the scripture sometimes. This is our assumption. As we read this, Ephesians 4, 17. Now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. Gentiles, someone who doesn't have a relationship with God is the meaning here. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and given up themselves to sensuality and greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ. So Paul is differentiating here by how we are living our lives. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self. So whose old self can you put off? Just your own. I know we want to put off everybody else's old self, the person that stepped on my foot on the way in my aisle this morning. That somehow they were not paying attention or anything else more egregious than that. We want everybody else to put off their old self, but the only person that you can put off the old self for is you. Are you here this morning? Still this morning. Assuming that you heard about him or taught in him as Lord Jesus, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another, that we in the body of Christ should be able to have truthful conversations. Again, if you get hurt at church, don't not come to church next week. Come and have a truthful conversation with somebody. Have an honest conversation. Have a forgiving conversation with somebody. Don't opt out. Amen. Because we are members of one another. This is what we're called to do and be, not just on our own. Listen, verse 26. Now again, the presupposition with these verses, the assumption is this is for the church in the context of church relationships. Be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down in your anger and give no opportunity for the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for our building up, as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So this is our goal, right? This is our North Star. Do we always hit it? Are you here today? Do we always hit this? No. We're going to fail sometimes. Our friends at church, they're going to fail sometimes at this. But this is still the call for me to be able to do. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Now listen, in the context of church relationships, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. Listen, for the church, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. So what's the assumption that Paul is making about the church? That in the context of church relationships, there is going to be the need of forgiveness. That we're going to need to forgive each other. See, if we're out somewhere else, living in some sort of other context, we don't have the need, we don't have the demand, we don't have the call for forgiveness. But in the body of Christ, we have this ethic, we have this value that we're called to by Christ, that we would forgive one another as God in Christ has forgiven us. Oh, right. God has forgiven me. So what type of person am I going to be at church, in the family of God, in the body of Christ? I'm going to be a forgiving one. Two more verses and we're done. James chapter 5, verse 16 says this. And this section of scripture here is why we have city groups. Because it's very hard for us to be vulnerable with somebody that we don't know very well. And in the larger context, sometimes it's hard to build relationships. And this is, you know, Jason and Kim were saying, you know, we've made friends, a city group, like lifelong friends. And why do we need lifelong friends? Because this, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. So what would be happening in the church? That somebody would tell you, because they're close enough to you and they trust you, they would tell you something that they're struggling with. And you're not going to go and share it with all your friends, and you're not going to post it online. What are you going to do? You're going to pray for them. That you know that you have struggles in your flesh. And this would be the thing that Jesus wants us to be famous for. This group, this family, the body of Christ, the church. Different than anything else out there. And finally this. These are some of my favorite verses in the scripture. And I would say that these verses here are some of the verses instrumental in keeping me in the church. because so many people in the body of Christ have claims on spirituality by titles, by a thousand different things. But here, it's brought down something very practical and purposeful and needed. Brothers, if any of you is caught in a transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in the spirit of gentleness. This is what we can do for each other as brothers and sisters. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. So when we're restoring somebody, the assumption, the necessary attitude is, oh, I could be tempted with this as well. I could struggle with this as well because I'm a human being who has flesh. And so I am restoring somebody gently. I'm not posting about it. I'm not blasting it in a public setting. That the spiritual people restore people. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So here is a very real way for us to love each other, not just the warm fuzzies, but in the difficult moments of life. Somebody's struggling and somebody's messed up. That the people who are spiritual, the people that have the Holy Spirit on the inside of them, what are we doing? We're restoring. Gently, humbly. Amen. Let's pray today. God, we thank you for this call. We thank you for this responsibility. God, we pray that you help us. You help us to love each other, to help us to love one another, to have this care for each other. God, we pray that you help us to build relationships in the context of the family of God. Like Jason and Kim said, have shared values, have shared purpose in life. We thank you, Lord, for your grace upon us. We thank you, Lord, for your love poured on the inside of us so that we can love each other. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said amen. Hey, before we go this morning, if you are here this morning and you have never said yes to Jesus, never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I'm gonna pray here in a second, and I invite you to pray along with me. Everybody needs a starting place with God. The gospel, the good news, is all about Jesus, what he came and accomplished for us. Came and lived a sinless life, died on the cross. God raised him from the dead. And because God accomplished that through Christ, that we can have a relationship with God, and all we have to do is say yes. So if you have never said yes to Jesus today, I invite you to pray along with me. Or maybe you're here this morning and you know you said yes to Jesus in the past, but maybe today you feel distant from him. Maybe something happened to you in the context of church and you kind of walked away from God, you walked away from church. You know, God is not mad at you today. God is inviting you close to himself again. I invite you to pray along with me as well. So church, let's bow our head and close our eyes. And let's pray this prayer out loud, praying with somebody who might be praying it for the first time or somebody who's rededicating their life to Christ. God, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that he lived a sinless life. He died on the cross and you raised him from the dead so I could know you. So today I say yes to that relationship. I say yes to your righteousness. God, I call you my Father. Jesus, I call you my Lord. God, I purpose to follow after your ways and I turn from my own. I thank you for salvation today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen, amen. Can we celebrate with everyone who made that decision today? Come on. Let's give them a round of applause. And hey, if that was you today, if you decided to follow Jesus, which, by the way, we believe is the best decision of your life, I just want to encourage you today. You can take the Connect card that's in the seat pocket in front of you. Mark off the box that says, I have decided to follow Jesus. And bring that card on over to the info desk, which is just by the circular staircase there. We have an incredible team just ready to meet you and greet you and give you some free resources as you begin your new journey of faith this morning. Just a couple of announcements before we head out. Don't forget, we are collecting donations all month long. right by the main doors, you'll see the black bags that you can get those groceries for. And it's just a beautiful way for us to show up all month long as we continue into our legacy series for our community. So I just want to encourage you to do that, as well as if you're interested in joining the city team, which is our amazing group of volunteers we have at church. It is not too late. Look at somebody, tell them, I'm going to see you joining on the city team. That's right, that's right. So you can do that in the lobby. You can come sign up. If you have any questions about what teams we have, you know, we have a team there just ready to greet you and give you more information. Would you stand to your feet with me this morning? Give somebody a high five. Tell them they look good today. And hey, if you were hoping for somebody to pray with you or for you today at this time, the prayer team is making their way down to the front, and you can come up to any of the team here. They'd be more than happy to pray with you for whatever you're believing for. Church, we love you. We will see you right here next week at 10:15 a.m. Be blessed and have an amazing week. You are dismissed.